Do you know how powerful you are? Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Microphone check 1 2 1. It's your host Terrell Simmons back in the building, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I know everybody is getting ready for the holiday spirits, and for this episode I got a special guest. This is actually a guest that I enjoy thoroughly. So there was some post-production issues with this episode, and we were able to get it done today. And I realized the delay happened for a reason, because it's the holiday season, and if you're looking at some good gifts to give by Black-owned organizations and companies, you have to look at sipandsharewines.com. My girl, Nicole Kearney, there's not too many of us in the wine industry, and Sip and Share Wines has one of the Conjure Zinfandels that was featured in Forbes magazines as one of the 10 drinks for the summer. Not to say that you can't enjoy it in the winter as well. And she's one of the 40 African-American tastemakers under 40, over 40, and this award was presented by Sabrina Jackson. Shout out to Sabrina Jackson for, you know, highlighting some of these amazing African Americans out here doing things in the wine experience. But I want you to get to know this young lady. I want you to, if you're a wine drinker or a connoisseur, make sure that you check out these emerging Black wines. They out here doing their thing, and they are the best of the best, the brightest of the brightest. And it's going to be one of my new favorite gifts to give and indulge in, not only just for the summer, but for the fall, whatever season you in. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the episode. Nicole Kearney, Sip and Share Wines. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. I got my sister from another mister joining us all the way from Indianapolis. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning. And for, in our world, it's Happy Make Wine Monday.
Happy Make Wine Monday. I know, as always, Make Wine Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In your world.
It is. And my team is grinding it out. They are bottling wine as we speak. So, yes.
Yeah. And we want to talk about how you got into this wine business. Because I don't see too many soul sisters in the wine business. So, we're going to have to talk about that journey. But before we get started, for the people who do not know you, who is Nicole Kearney?
So, you know, I'm a sister from East Jersey. Well, really South Jersey. So, by the shore. And have great family structure, great family support. My mom, my dad, my grandmother, all my siblings. And we kind of came together and created this. And my nieces too. We created this business of family. And my partner in wine and his children and siblings. And we're just like a really fun family that you want to come and hang out with, it, you know, at the cookout. And we also just happen to make wine.
Yep. So I need to know, how does a Jersey girl get into the wine business? Like, I was born in New York, but raised in D.C., Rochester. Shout out to Dirty Jersey too, by the way. Like, but I don't see a lot of us in the winery business in coming from those areas. So how does this happen?
So two things. So both my parents are from our family home is North Carolina. So everybody had kind of those grandparents in the South that had those buckets like in the corner or in the basement or under the sink that they were like, don't touch. So we all come from like those agricultural roots where my grandmother's house and then my great grandmother's house, they all grew wild grapes and different fruit. And so they turned those fruit into wine. Unbeknownst to us, we didn't know what they were actually doing. We just knew that we were going to go taste it because we were told not to. But on the other side, my dad is retired military. So I grew up in Germany. So I had early exposure to really good wine and beer growing up. So I got to travel extensively around Europe, and doing that in Italy, you know, young people drink wine all the time. In Germany, you can drink the Kinder beer, which is beer for children, which is just really watered down beer. But you also can get wine, which, you know, sometimes they water it down, or it's just a little, you know, a small glass. You get introduced to it because it is just culturally normal, especially in Italy. It is culturally normal that you drink wine with every meal. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different from here. So I already kind of had that understanding of wine. And then it was just like the art and the chemistry of it. And then seeing the lack of Black and brown people in the wine industry. I was like, yeah, we got to get in it. So we got to like just signal that we are here. It's about 100 Black winemakers, but that's only 1% of all winemakers in the United States.
You telling me out of, that just blew my mind. Out of all the thousands of wineries out there, we only got 100 of us?
We're 1%. And as a Black woman winemaker, I'm 0.01% of Black women winemakers in the country. So we are trying to increase our ranks just as a Black people, getting us into wine, and not just on the front end, but people forget that there's distribution, you know, there's owning wine shops and wine bars and liquor stores. So there's so many different avenues and aspects to get into this business to really grow it. So we aren't the, we're the, not the norm. We're more of the norm versus right now we're the exception to the norm.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, congrats to you for being, you know, it's kind of like a sad congrats, because like congrats for you for making it in. But man, we got to change this narrative.
That's what I'm about.
So now, wait, were you always in the wine industry? Just out of curiosity, you know, I always like to see the humble beginnings and the journeys through people's career progression. Your first job in working in the wine industry? Or
I've done that for about 10 years. So I came out of community development. So I still do community development, when people kind of call me for a specific project. So community development in Black and brown neighborhoods is kind of like what I got into post college. I did some social work for a while, but it was just very draining. But a writer by trade. So I went back to school. I went to graduate school, got my graduate degree in dramatic writing. So I write theater, web series. And that was kind of what I was doing. I was a professor and I taught dramatic writing and English to students, and then kind of really started this wine business. And it was really accidental. Like I said, this wasn't, because I was like, my goal in life was I was going to have a show on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was like trajectorying for. But going to graduate school, one of the things we did was we would drink wine and talk about like our families, our work, like what we needed to work on. So that's really where Sip and Share came from, because it was all these people who were culturally different and from different parts of the country. Yeah. And we were coming together, and wine was like that unifier for us. And we were like, oh yeah, like, hey, you like this kind of wine, I like this kind of wine. And then that kind of like breaks the ice for people. And then people are like, oh, well, if we like the same kind of wine, well, maybe you like this and I like this. So that for us is our mission, is connecting community with wine. And so that is really what we do with it. But I kind of backed into wine. Like I got it, you know, I wanted to have more exposure to Black and brown winemakers. So I started the business just as a home and event company. We would come to your home, we would, you know, introduce you to these wines, and you'd buy them from the winemaker. Same thing, we would go to events. And then my business coach was like, we always made sangria. She's like, you make more money doing sangria than going into people's homes. You need to figure out how to bottle that. And so that took us on about a 18-month journey. I traveled the country meeting winemakers, talking to winemakers, and then kind of just perfected the craft over time. And 2018, we became a winery. 2019, we introduced our first collection. But I had spent the years before that just meeting people and getting in the industry from the distribution side and learning the back end. Because I always tell people, learn the business.
Meeting people from the industry. Okay. Distribution side. Sorry about that.
No, I tell people, learn the business, because that's what's going to carry you throughout all the things. Know what's keeping you going and learn the business. So that is really, you know, for us, we've been fortunate, but that's kind of how we got into the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love what you did with the sip and wine and people sharing, because that's how you really get to know people. I mean, cafe is the center of a lot of different places, and then mm-hmm. also wineries, because then you get to have those in-depth conversation and break bread at the same time. So I feel like that's a wonderful concept. And I'm pretty sure you married some of your social work skills and weaved it on into the business as well.
I can only imagine. And a lot of my community skills, because I'm a community connector. I bring that, like building relationships. That's what, you know, people like come to me and say, hey, can you help us do this project? And I'm like, sure, you know, I'll jump in your neighborhood and help you do that. And so using that, it's like, that's the same thing I do every day with my winery. Like, I want to do this business. I want to be in this place. So I'm using the same skills. I tell people, skill sets, it doesn't matter the business. Business is business. Skill sets are skill sets when you learn them. When you learn great communication skills, when you can communicate with people on paper and in person, it'll take you far in life. Very far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it does. Like, I always tell people, like, look, networking is one of the best things you could do for not only for yourself, but building relationships and for your business, but to build community as well. And you've been able to do a little bit of both of those. Now, tell me about the early beginnings of getting into the wine industry, because as you said before, as you alluded before, 1%, I can't imagine it was easy. So what was the road to, you know, those humble beginnings of getting started? What was that journey like?
Most people were like, right, you're going to make wine and do what? And you live where? In Indiana? Whatever. And we were dismissed. And I was like, okay, that was just the fuel to be like, let us show you. So we started perfecting everything at home. You know, I was like, we're going to make this wine at home. We're going to perfect it. Mm-hmm. And then we got an opportunity to go into a commercial space. It was 250 square feet. But it was super inexpensive. And we're like, we're in there. Mm-hmm. And then the licensing process, we had to get licensed. And so when I got into the business, there had only been one other Black winemaker in the state of Indiana. And that gentleman, Charles Smith, has now transitioned mm-hmm. on. I mean, he had some health issues, but he used to come. He lived an hour away from where I live, but he used to come and do our city market every week. And then, so there had been this gap. And so a lot of times I get asked by people, well, oh, are you Charles? Are you Mr. Smith's, like, one of his relatives? And I'm like, nope, I'm not. So we were only the second Black owned winery. And when we were trying to get licensed, it was like everything you could think of. Even when we started our home and event wine tasting, they were like, oh, okay. Then somebody called me and was like, what you're doing is illegal. And I'm like, so let me tell you these other three companies that are doing this. So are they all illegal? And they're like, let us check it again. And I was like, oh, okay, right. Because if we're illegal, then you need to shut everybody down. So, but being able to know that and just being like, I have my receipts and my evidence. And then knowing, again, the business of what you're going into, getting mentors. I had a mentor that had a wine shop. She mm-hmm. owned two wine shops, knew the wine business. I had another mentor who was in the business of distribution and selling the wine. So these two women came together. Mm-hmm. And school me. And then my winemaking mentor owns a winery in California in Livermore, Longevity Wines. We call him Uncle Phil Long. And so those individuals made sure.
Uncle Phil.
Yeah, that's all right. Uncle Phil. He's our Uncle Phil, and we love him. And so it's like building, you know, building and getting the people to help you and listening and saying, oh. And then, you know, we took wine out. We came out to Livermore. We took some wine to Uncle Phil. And at the time, his wife, Deborah, who's now also transitioned and got kind of that blessing, got notes on what we needed to do. So we've been helped every step along the way by someone else already in the industry, mm-hmm. kind of giving us, this is what you need to do. Another sister, a Queen Theodora. Yeah. She owns Theopolis Vineyards. I was going to events all over the country. And she said, you keep showing up, sis. You keep showing up. She's like, I'm in Miami. You're in Miami. I'm in Chicago. You're in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm in Maryland. You're in Maryland. I'm in Virginia. I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you following me? Well, kind of, sort of. And she just kind of was like, let me hit you to the end. And so these folks saw me showing up. So they saw I was serious. And from that, we literally got invited to go to Essence Fest in 2018. First time Essence had ever poured wine. And it was only off of our social media presence and people seeing what we were doing. Like, oh, they keep showing up places. Like, people keep putting them on their, you know, on their stories. Like, this little black girl is just going all over the country. And I was doing this with my own money, people. Wasn't nobody paying for this. This was me, credit cards. Yeah. You know, I was working a job and I'm like, I'm committed to this. And, but, and I was working. I was working doing this. And so that just, again, networking, meeting people. When I walked into that Essence opportunity, I was like freaking out. And my partner was with me, David. And I was like, man, these are brands and wines that have been around for decades. And here we are. We're new with this wine. And can we stand up against, you know, these other wineries? And he was like, calm down. We got this. We're supposed to be in the room. And people were so gracious. They were like, oh my God. Like, we, they were like, you have the best wine. We love your wine. So that let me know, okay, we're in here. Like, we stand toe to toe with everyone else, and we deserve to be in the room. And since then, we have just gone forward and just, we keep kicking open doors and making a way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Something I was just talking to another entrepreneur about was like, hey, you know, just keep showing up. Like, you know, you are bound to build the connections, people, community, mentors along the way that's going to support your journey and help you know, develop your skills, refine your skills, level up. In this journey that you've been through, what would you say was, what's the skill you think everyone should have and why? When it comes to, you know, just getting in the wine industry, what's a skill that you feel like everyone should have?
You get people who already know how it works, and be open to listening and understanding that they've already done it. So don't reinvent the wheel, like listen to their advice. We had 20 something wines when we started. I had this idea. I was going to create all these wines for the different seasons. And every season we released like 4 different wines. And a sister that now distributes my wines in Virginia, Shoe Crazy Wine, Gwen Hurt, came to me and said, sis, a distributor only wants 5 to 7 wines. All these wines, they're not going to distribute that. You need to pull up. And I was like, oh, And I was like, okay, we're going to make 7 wines. I love the number 7. That's my number. So we're going to make 7 wines. So just in getting that advice early on, we were able to make that shift. And now we had 7 wines. Mm-hmm. And now we became more attractive to wholesalers because they could be like, oh, I could pick a couple sweets, a couple dries, put them on my shelf versus us now trying to have this unwieldy 20, 30 different wines. So it's listening to people. One thing I've learned too in my writing life, it's a thing I always say, if one person tells you something, sometimes you're like, okay, I'll hear it. But if 2-3 people start telling you the same thing, you might need to go back and check it and refine something. And I think we let ego get in the way of a lot of things because, you know, something we've created, we've crafted, we need to be open to listening, hearing when we listen and be like, that's solid advice. Like, this person isn't trying to be drag me down or take me down the wrong path. Like, they've done it. So I need to hear it and listen to it and then put it into play. And that's what we've done. People have said, there's some people said stuff to us and we're like, thank you. It's cute. But there's folks who said stuff to us and we're like, yeah, we're following through on that. And follow through. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Know what you can do. And like they always say, you know, underpromise, overdeliver, and then people are going to be thrilled. And they're going to tell someone else because you blew it out the park. And they'll tell someone else. And like you said, keep showing up. Because if nothing else, people, I know I'm unique. Like, I'm black, I'm a woman, and I have locks. So those three things, when I walk in places, I found people learned my name far quicker than I've learned their name because I'm one of one. And there's like 20 people that don't look like me, but I'm showing up in places and I'm drinking wine. And I'm also through the Roots Fund, I'm a certified wine educator. So I'm a level 2 wine and spirit education trust. So I, you know, got some credentials, but I was showing up places.
Okay, there you go. Drinking. Let's go.
But I was drinking and they're like, this little black girl is drinking and giving solid notes and information. So they're like, who is she? And I have a wine shop that's near my house that I go to. And they finally were like, what do you do? You got to be in the industry. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I make wine. You know, I'm cool. You know, I do. You know. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, but I come here to drink and socialize and meet my girls. And so, but then they started recognizing, okay, more and more, they were like, and they were like, you should apply for a job here. Like, you would be great here. And I was like, ah, I got a winery. I already have a job. Thank you. But then I was like, maybe I should. But then we just kind of, and I was like, sorry, but I still go visit. I still go to their classes. I still go learn more all the time. But now, like, when they see me, it's a different, it's a different, like, recognition, you know, than when I'm just like, oh, I come in and I buy some wine. I can come in and talk to my guy that works there. And I'm like, Philip, I'm in the mood for a dry red and I don't want to spend over 20 today. And he's like, I got you. And he's going to give me something. And I'm like, I know it's going to be amazing. But he's like, taste these other wines that we have out. So it's just that rapport. And that's, it's the professional courtesy. But I'm not in there like, you know, I'm just like, yeah, I came to get some wine. And I like bubbles. So they're always like, we've got this great deal coming up. So I get that inside information like, hey, you need to come to this place. And so I tell people, go in as your full self. And like I said, and I, it took me a while to get it. Like, why do these people know my name? And my friends are like, girl, look at you and look at everybody else in the room. It's like,
like there's not too many people with dreads in this industry. Like, the only other person I know off the top of my head, and I'm not in the wine industry, was, I know Snoop just got into the game. So
he is. And I think
they go remember your name.
But yeah, I come with, you know, I'm all pinned up today, but I come in, you know, and it's like, oh. And then I bring all my other friends and they're like, oh, she just rolled up in here with like 10 people who look like her and they all drink wine, you know, and they all drink wine with knowledge and skill because we drink with each other. And then I'm like, okay, let me get y'all these little notes and blah, 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 blah. So my friends are like, yeah, like we know the game. And so you just put more and more people on to make them show up in settings. And then it's people, and then people were normalized. It was Black and brown people being in wine settings that we should be in the room, not people are whispering like, oh, because I've been to places where I've been told after I RSVP, my name's not on the list. We took an event that people used to have and they used to be like, you can bring as many people as you want. I was bringing 20, 30 people. We're going to learn about wine. You're going to drink this wine and you have to buy a case to get into this room, into these private parties. They created a new rule. You could only have one table. They were like, you have one table, that's 8 people, 10 at the max. So my girl was like, well, I'm a join and I'm gonna get in. And now we got 2 tables. And my other girl was like, yep, now we got 3. But they were like trying to put all the Black people in one space. They put us by the bathroom. They would tell people I wasn't there. I have a custom car plate. All my friends know my license plate. They were like, we know you're here. So it was a lot of that poor treatment that really led me to be like, I'm going to show you how to not only have a place where we center Black and brown wine lovers, we welcome everyone. And we are creating a really inclusive and diverse wine industry or wine world within ourselves. And so people want to come drink with us because they see us, we're laughing, we're having fun, we're talking wine. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, y'all bought the party. We want to come to your table. And we're like, I'm on. Pull up a chair. Now, this is what we're talking about. And we're doing it. And they're like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I know. I smell that note. Oh, chocolate. I taste it. So we're educating, but we're having fun because that's what we like to do. We're going to get together and drink and eat and kiki. That's who we are. And a lot of wine settings aren't prepared for that from us.
Yeah, they certainly not. And I think that's why you know, it's funny because I think they're not prepared for that for us. But I think if they embrace that and they can expand their demographic and the demographic can grow. And then it's just good business because now there's different environments for every type of wine drinker that's out there. I was just at a winery, 3 weeks ago out here in San Diego that my family had booked when they came out here to visit. Never been to a winery before in my life. We saw another Black family coming out there. He's like, hey, y'all, on? And it turned into a good time. And I was like, oh, yeah. They was from the East Coast. And then they had a black jazz player come out to this white winery. And he turned up. He saw we was there. We was electric sliding. We was doing the Cupid shuffle, all that stuff. And we buying people out to the dance floor with us. They was wobbling and shaking just like us. They was having a good old time. They was like, oh, we turning up in here.
And see, we bring the party.
As you say, we was keying up in there.
Yes. And that's where and it's the uncultural norm. People are trying to make wine stuffy and elitist. Wine is fun, y'all. Uh-huh. Wine is fun. It's supposed to be fun. It is fun. And so when we go places, we making it fun. Like you said, and when we see other black people, you know we're gonna give them that. Hey, what y'all doing? Okay. And you right. And we collectively are now together. And then the musician recognizes. And that's what I said. We create this. We bring the party. That's what my friends just told me the other day. We bring the party, so everybody wants to come to our table, and they want to know what we're doing. That's what the wine.
And it was an inclusive atmosphere, because it got so fun. Like, hey, what you order? Like, da da da. This is real good. You got to order this. And there was a white family across from the table from us. It's like, hey, we can't finish all this pound cake, but y'all got to try this pineapple upside down cake. And they shared it with us. It was just a congregation. We ain't nobody know each other from Adam, but we all was having a good time learning about each other, sharing, and then dancing. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I was like, all right, I might, if there's more wineries like this, I'm gonna start hitting up some wineries.
And that's it, connecting community with wine. And that's why we tell people that's our mission, because we think we are in this society currently, we are so what's dividing us. There's less dividing us and more that we are communally, and we wouldn't do that until we like get wine or food, something that's going to break that barrier. Like you said, when I see you're drinking something, oh, well, what do you drink? Well, I like this. You should try this. Well, this is good. And that's when once they realize, oh, well, you like what I like too. Well, maybe you like this. Like you said, I like the electric slide too. Well, come on, show me how to do it. I've been wanting to know how to do it. Now I feel in a safe space. I can go out here. Nobody's going to laugh at me, and I can figure it out. And that's how, and now they have gone home and they've had this experience. Everyone has had this experience. And it's like, whatever they came in with, whatever preconceived notion everyone came in with about whatever someone is or looks like and are, left with this experience like, oh, dang, I had a great time with these families and we didn't all know each other. And now they are more receptive to going the next place. Maybe it's to their children's school and talking to that mother at the PTA and making her feel welcome, or that father in the grocery store with his children who might, you know, be doing whatever. And now we're more receptive to cross those boundaries and realize we are all humans. And now we all make the world a better place because we are more open to it versus we've all got our biases and prejudice. And that's what we're going to stick with. And that's what we love about wine. Wine and food is going to bring us together. It's going to change the world. That's what's going to change the world. I tell you, you want to get all this politics and stuff, bring me 20 different people together in a room, and I'm going to get y'all eating and drinking. And I guarantee when y'all leave, y'all going to have phone numbers. Y'all going to have to change social media platforms. You're going to know about so-and-so's kid. You're going to be on Facebook. Girl, how did they do with that soccer game? I seen them pictures. They look like, you know, and build that kind of rapport to when you're like, girl, I'm coming back in your town. What you gonna be? I learned about two other wineries. But, are you free? Bring your people. And so that's what we call the sip experience. And that for us is the sip and share wine sip experience. It's all about sipping with people, bringing people together, and connecting them with wine, because wine does it every time. And food.
Yeah, you might have to coin that phrase, sip spirit.
Oh, we do.
Say it one more time. I'm having a tongue twister.
It's sip spirit and it's trademark. We got a bomb intellectual property attorney, y'all. Trademarked.
yeah, we have to take that around the world, sis. That's what I want. I want that sip experience.
and that is the goal.
So it will be.
We've done them in Cali, but like I said, up in the Oakland Bay Area. We've done them in Jersey. We've done them in New York, Georgia, going to Maryland yet this year to bring it. North Carolina. So yeah, we'll be in North Carolina.
Nice. You got to get it in my hometown DMV area. So yeah, definitely get it out there to DC, Maryland, Virginia. I know they would love it.
Yeah. And that's what we do, because once people meet us and have that experience, then like I said, as we look to have a tasting room, then people at that destination, because they know if I got this, we do it just at wine festivals. People are like, if I got this experience at just a festival with thousands of people, imagine what I'll get if I'm coming and there's just 50 people in the room and I could really get some more one-on-one personal experience. So that's how we get repeat customers, because I was like, we do this every day. Like, my team, this is what we do. Like, we're gonna get you together on some wine and some fun, because we're gonna kiki too. Or my men don't kiki. My men say that we just laugh out loud. My brothers don't kiki, but they like,
there
they
go.
Right. They like, we don't kiki.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So now I know you're gonna inspire some young ladies who's gonna hear this. Like, you know what? Sis, right. I've been trying to, like, I never thought I could do it until she came on the show. So what would you give as like some first steps for people to take if they're really wanting to? I'm approaching from two layers. One, get into their wine experience and learning what wines for them. And then on the second part of that, people who want to who are into wine but really want to consider this as a career thing, like, how do I get into my career as in the wine industry? Like, give me those two different advice.
So I would say, if you like wine, and even if you want to get in the industry, either one of these things, start with drinking wine and going out to your local wineries, wine shops, wine bars, usually wine shops, and even liquor stores, they have wine tastings. Go out, taste the wine, learn what you like. So that way you understand wine, because that's the best way to learn wine. Then if you really want to get educated, you can go find a wine course that teaches you more, wine education course. There's a group called the Roots Fund. They give out scholarships 3 or 4 times a year to Black or brown people who want to get into the wine industry. They're amazing. That's how I got my wine certification.
Okay.
And then I would say, if you want to get into it as a career path, start learning your where you live, your state, your county laws, because that's what determines what you can do anywhere. So understand what those are. Like, California has the most lenient laws in the country. Some other places like Pennsylvania and Virginia, which are Commonwealth states, are a little bit crazier. But learn your laws, understand what you need, and then make a financial plan. Know where your money is, your personal money, and then know how you're going to get money to do this business, because it does cost money. We started our entire business on my credit cards and my savings. And then we did a couple, like, family and friends gave us some money, but I was like, I'm going to do this, and whether somebody gives me something or not, I'm going to do it. So be prepared to understand how you, what money you need to live and maintain your lifestyle. And I had children. So I really went gung-ho once my children went to college. Ooh. So I was fortunate that they both scholarshiped in. And I was like, okay, I don't have to weigh tuition. So I can take tuition money and put that into a business, and I just have to send them incidentals. And I'm very fortunate that I have a great co-parent in my ex-husband. So, you know, he was like there to like, hey, this is what they need. So he also, like, you know, it wasn't just me alone. I'm not a single parent. I am a co-parent. And he picked up so much of the slack, and, you know, we raised our children together. So understanding what you can do, learn the laws. I'm always available. People slide in my DM all the time. Give me a day or two, sometimes a week, but I will respond to you. I'm willing to share information, because it was given to me freely. So I'm going to give it out freely, because I need to see more of us in this industry. And I might slide into your DM if I see you talking about wine. So y'all answer me too, because I'll be like, oh, she likes wine. Oh, this is what she's doing. And I might be like, hey, girl, hey, what you doing? Because I want to see more people who look like us in this industry.
Well, I love that. Make sure y'all check out all the information that she said, the scholarships. Then just get involved. That's the first key step. Just get involved. And if you're in the wine industry, and you like it, do that budget. I think that's the one thing that we sometimes overlook, the budget. You have to figure out, all right, what do I need to sustain life and to get the business started? And sometimes we just have the idea and we go running with it and we realize, oh, whoo, I'm going to need this. And so I think a good financial plan can help you really sustain the highs and lows of starting a business and entrepreneurship. Right. So great advice.
And get a coach. I was going to say so many agencies have like free business coaching and, resources for entrepreneurs. So find those also in your city and get you a coach or somebody who can help you put those numbers together. If you don't know how to do that, there's small business development centers all across the country. Your local chambers probably have, resources, your SBA, SCORE, Black chambers, but find someone to help you. Don't do it. Entrepreneurialism is already in a bubble and it's already isolating enough to get you a group of people you can work through a plan with. And you don't need a 50-page business plan. Mm-hmm. But what you do need to know is know your numbers and know who you want to sell your wine to. I'll tell you right now, it will not be everybody, because everybody won't want to drink your wine. We are the only Black-owned vegan winery in the United States. So we cater to Black and brown and vegan while we welcome everyone. But that's who comes to our, to our wine, because we happen to be Black women, Black men. But know who you're, and it's okay to have a niche audience and then, have a plan to expand that and really know what do you need to make it your full-time job. Just don't be like, oh, I really hate my job, so I'm just going to quit. But do you have enough money to support you, your family, or whatever you need to do? So, so get a coach, write a plan. It could be just, a 4 or 5 page plan for you. And then what does your financials look like? Because that's always what people are going to ask you. Show me how you're going to make money. What's your business model? How are you going to make money? And how is your business going to grow?
Yeah, absolutely. So make that plan. Now, you've had some wonderful mentors along the way. You gave some great advice. I got to ask you, what's one good lesson life has taught you through this journey?
So I have in my car a sticky note that says, breathe. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Breathe.
Yep. And
Say that again for the people in the back that didn't hear you.
Yes, it's breathe, because we often are always holding our breath. Just throughout the day. So breathe is the first one. And then it's a marathon and not a sprint. So true.
So true.
Yes.
And I think we forget that sometimes, because we so like, oh, I got to get this like now. It has to be now. And it's all or nothing. And then we get into this grind and hustle that we forget that, like, okay, we got to save some energy for this race that's not going to end after you finish this nice little sprint that you're doing.
Right. So my monthly, I have a group of entrepreneurs that we meet together. And so this month, our focus is on rest is revolutionary and restorative, because we hear this grind culture. You should grind and, I can sleep when I'm dead. That is all under. You can do it if you want to, but I like sleep. I love sleep. That sleep is my hobby now. So I tell people rest is restorative, it's revolutionary. So take time out for you, whether you want to call that self-care or whatever it is. But if you're not, your cup isn't full, you can't pour for anyone else. So we kind of need to rethink. We came out of, COVID. We're still kind of in COVID, but we came out of the heart of COVID in a different, we should be in a different mindset. And for me, it's like, we're going to grow this and it's going to happen and it's going to happen in divine timing. And if I'm killing myself to do it, I don't get to enjoy it. And I'm going to enjoy this every step of the way. My team knows I celebrate every little bitty milestone. And we got a grant, we celebrate. I heard we get whatever, we got a new wholesale customer. I'm celebrating. I celebrate, every milestone along the way. And so have gratitude in your heart. Be grateful for where you are, because how can you expect to get more if you're not grateful for where you are right now today?
Yeah, so true. So stay grateful. I like that rest is revolutionary too. That hit me. I was like, ooh, I'm about to steal that one.
Yes.
So we need what would you like to accomplish? Yeah, we do need it, that's for sure. With some wine, of course.
Of course.
What would you like to accomplish in the next year?
Ooh, next year. So
I know you got big plans. So what would you like to accomplish in the next year?
So my first personal goal is at the beginning of 2023, I am going to be on somebody's island for at least 4 days relaxing. That's the first thing I plan to do. And so again, rest is restorative and revolutionary. And then we plan to expand across the country and be in at least 10 different states by the end of 2023 and really grow our footprint. My publicist has decided we are going to be a household name by the end of 2023, and I am walking in that with her. I receive it, and I'm standing in agreement with her. So that is by the end of 2023, we want to be a household name. We are really East Coast. We really like Illinois East, but we will also be entering like the Texas, California market more. But I tell people kind of just follow us on social media because and our website, because we roll out all the fun things there. And we've got like a couple big things still for the end of the year that we're going to bang out, you know, the end of Q3 nice. And Q4. We coming in hot, y'all. We coming in hot.
Yeah, like coming in hot. So when you look at the industry, what do you think the future has in store for the industry, for the wine industry? But especially when you look at the bringing together of Black and brown people of color into this industry, what does the future look like to you?
So it's more of us joining the industry. Like I said, it's wine educators, winemakers, distributors. I hope to see some major Black distribution companies really either coming together or popping up. There's a few out there, but really coming together to get the wine that Black and brown winemakers make and get them into more spaces. I see that the industry is going to be more consolidated because there's only like most of the wine you see out in your stores is owned by three or four companies. They own almost every bottle on those shelves.
Oh, really?
So as Black and brown people, we need to think about, should we come together and start pulling our resources? And so we have that same leverage because, like I said, EJ Gallo, you can go on a store shelf and they probably own 80% of what you see. Then Constellation owns like another 10, and I forgot the other company. They own another 10. So it's hard for small producers to get store shelf because the big boys are really trying to block us out. So hopefully all these diversity initiatives that they are saying that they have, they really will start picking up more Black and brown companies or doing business with more Black and brown companies and helping them to learn the trade and get more space on the shelf. And then I want to see us as Black and brown people hiring other Black and brown people to expand our brand, to be not in competition, but to be seen in the same breath as these multi-generational non-melanated companies. We have one Black-owned company. So the Black wine world, we're really talking about 30 years in our current modern history. We only have a 30-year history right now. So most of us have been alive longer than that. So there's only one family, which the Brown Estates that are in Napa, they are the only multi-generational family in the wine world. So we're talking about a 30, 40-year history. That's what we've created, where we have all these other companies that are second, third, fourth generation. So I want to see us preparing ourselves and making the necessary arrangements for us to be, this would be generational wealth, and we are passing this down. And I, you know, hope when I'm gone, and I'm an ancestor, and I'm, you know, my energy is around in this, you know, in the atmosphere, that I can know that my whatever, that there's a fourth generation of my family talking about, let me tell you about my, you know, my great, great, great grandma. And she was out here wilding out, making wine and traveling around the country. And they keep that story going. And that becomes the norm, that there are Black families doing that as the norm.
Mm,
I love that. I love that. And this is how we really change the game. Just being in more collaboration, having those synergies, building generational wealth, building, you know, just the economy, and infrastructure, so that we could take that 30 years, flip it to 40 years, 50 years. Then the next thing you know, hundreds of us in the game, all supporting each other and in unison with each other. So I love this. I love this. So me, you could probably talk forever, but I try to keep these what used to be a drive time. I don't know what people do in between what used to be their drive time. I know some people still drive to work. So let's end off the episode like this. What projects are you currently working on that you could share? Because I know you got some top secret stuff too. and where can people find you?
So we're working on our Sip Bus, which is our mobile wine bar or mobile wine lounge. And then we are working on getting a tasting room or a wine lounge open. You can find us at Sip and Share Wines on all your social media platforms, including LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn. Book us, invite us to come to your city, your state. Our website address is sipandsharewines.com. And that's the word "and" spelled out. And we're looking forward to pulling up, doing some homecoming events. We've got a really fun tailgating experience that we're going to put out here starting next month or in a couple different cities that we're coming to. So we're going to teach people how to elevate their tailgate with wine. So again, another sip experience we're putting together. So, yeah.
Man, I'm loving these sip experience. We're going to have to get a sip. San Diego, whoever is
sip
got space. Yep. Come holler at me. So we got to get a sip experience. We got to get Nicole out here. I'm convinced. We're gonna have to have you pull up to San Diego. I'm going to figure out how we make this happen. Nicole, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. Love your energy. Love what you're doing with the wine culture out here. Any last words of wisdom for the people before we sign off today?
Believe in your dream. Keep pushing forward. And I don't have a plan B, y'all. So please support Sip and Share Wines.
There you go. Support Sip and Share Wines. There's no plan B. This is part of the dream. Unless, you know, when they said the revolution wouldn't be televised, they didn't say we wasn't going to get in the audio documentary form. So here we go.
There you go. Gil Scott Aaron's my favorite.
Thank you again, Nicole.
Thank you. You have a great one.
Thank you again, sis.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love. Love what you do. Don't chase the money. Let the money chase you.